You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Good morning, wonderful people. I hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you are. Tonight is the first night of our Kind Collective Intensive, which I'm so excited about. So that's the group program that I decided to run alongside of the membership. So for everybody who's already a member, you already know that we're doing some pretty deep inner work inside of the membership. We're doing what I've called the Parenting Fundamentals. And it's kind of all about how to transform and understand your triggers and really kind of go deep into what's coming up for you in your life, because we know that that's what actually transforms families. But I've also added a group component to that. So for people who wanted to dive deeper and wanted to have a bit more of a personalized experience with me, we are diving into 8 weeks of that work together, and it starts tonight. And I'm so excited about it because this is one of my favorite things about what I do, is being able to help parents really see their unconscious fears and their conflicting parts and their deeper desires, and really help them clear that stuff at the root, because that's what gives them more capacity. I was actually asked the other day on a podcast interview about, what do I do when a family is really struggling with their child's behavior and anxiety and aggression, and they just feel like they don't have any capacity? And my answer was like, I go into that deep inner work with the parents, because the reason why we don't have capacity is because there is some kind of block. There is some kind of unconscious fear. There is something going on that is constricting us. And that's where the work is. And she said, oh, so no spa days for your clients. And I said, no, my clients don't. We don't do spa days or self-care packages. It really is about deep inner work. Because that's what I see actually then from deep within gives parents more capacity to hold more, no matter what their child's going through. So yes, I'm super excited about that tonight. So I just wanted to share that with you. But that's not the topic of today's podcast. Today, I want to talk about the idea of different tiers. So, you know, there's a really beautiful and well-intended and wonderful message in the respectful parenting movement that is all about welcoming emotions. And that's great. And that is, you know, such an important thing. But it's kind of step one. Right, then we have to go deeper and understand that it's actually different types of emotions and tiers, and we need to kind of get a little bit clearer about what's actually happening for our kids in any given moment. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. So sometimes what can happen is a child can be moving into, or can be, you know, expressing a huge meltdown, right? They're frustrated at something. Something's not working the way that they wanted to. So they're frustrated and they're kicking and screaming and yelling. And what often happens is that children will go into that frustration and that rage and that aggression, but at some point they will move into those more vulnerable feelings after that. And so they'll, you know, it's kind of known as mad to sad. So once that kind of energy has been released a little bit, they can often tap into the fact that they're really disappointed or they're really sad about that thing that they can't change. And that's often when the emotion starts to resolve, right? But what I've noticed with one of my children is that this child has a tendency to get stuck in that frustration mode. But he's actually activating more frustration and he's not releasing. And it's been a really interesting thing for me to witness, because I can feel it in the moment. I just get it. I can see it. Oh, this is not a release. He is stuck. And he's not stuck overall, like I talk about stuck kids. This child's not stuck, but he is he's stuck in that moment. He's stuck in frustration. And what happens when we're frustrated about something, it means that something isn't working the way that we want it to. And so our body actually kind of goes to work and starts activating, and it starts kind of producing energy in order to solve a problem, right? Because there's a problem. There's something there that the brain perceives is not working the way that the child wants it to work. And so the emotion is there in order to solve that problem. That's the purpose of the emotion. Now, when this problem can't be solved, then the child needs to be able to understand that this is what is known as futile, right? And so then their brain shifts gears and moves from mad to sad, or you see a shift from this like rage and frustration to more of a vulnerable, sad, disappointed cry, which you'll have heard me talk about in my work all the time, because this is what I'm just absolutely find so fascinating and so important to understand. Now, there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about today in terms of when we have a kid that's stuck in that mode of frustration. Sometimes we feel like we're doing a really great thing by just being there with them, right? And that's true. We are doing a great thing by being there with them. But I think what's important is to tune into whether or not it feels like this is something they just need to go through, or whether or not they feel stuck. And I don't have some perfect formula for you about how to work this out. I've tried to figure out a perfect formula because it would be very handy. But really, I think the truth is it's really intuitive. And I think it takes experimenting, and I think it takes understanding the overall idea and then tuning into your child at any given moment. And when we can separate our own stuff, this comes back to the inner work I was talking about before, when we can genuinely accept and not be afraid of emotions, and we can hold that intense energy in our nervous system without it pushing us to our edge. So when we've really done that inner work and we know in that moment, obviously every given moment will be different, doesn't matter how much inner work you've done, there'll be times when you don't have capacity to listen to your child's meltdowns. But let's say in that given moment, you have capacity. You know it's not about your stuff. You deeply know, actually, I'm not at my edge right now. I am so willing and able to hold this intensity for my child. But it's not shifting. My child feels stuck. My child feels like they're not moving through this. They're just, it's almost like they're kind of stuck in a loop, right? And this happened last night, actually, with my 2-year-old. And we went through the meltdown for quite a while. I can't remember how long, you know, it always feels longer than it actually is. But we'd been in it for quite a while. And I just felt like it wasn't shifting. And I just thought, I have to do something different. He is activating more frustration. And what he kept saying, the problem was that he wanted me to go away, which is often what kids say. And I wasn't willing to leave a 2-year-old with his big emotions, screaming and kicking and raging. And at one point, because we'd been in it for so long, at one point I needed to use the bathroom. So I explained to him that's what I was going to do. And I went to use the bathroom. And as soon as I left the room, the screaming intensified even more. So even though it wasn't my intention to leave him alone and I just needed to literally use the bathroom, I also knew from that experience that me leaving him alone wasn't going to solve the problem. That's not actually what he wanted, which I know that's never what children actually want. But then, so I got back and I was sitting there, you know, just witnessing, just allowing it to be. And he was telling me that he wanted me to go away and he needed me to leave. And I occasionally said, you know, I'm not willing to leave you alone with these big emotions, or I'm not willing to leave you alone right now. But I was also in my mind thinking, I actually need to get this kid to shift. He's really stuck. He's activating more and more energy in his body. He's not releasing. He's stuck on something. Now, his brain is telling me that it's he wants me to go. It's not that, because, you know, I did go and that didn't help. So I kept trying to think, how am I going to shift him? Because this doesn't feel like we're just riding a wave. It doesn't feel like we're riding the wave of an emotion and we're going to get to the other side. He feels like he's stuck in a loop. And so in the end, I tried to pick him up and take him outside to look at the moon because it was nighttime, and he loves the moon. And that he kept saying he wanted to go inside. Okay, that that didn't kind of shift anything. And then in the end, I decided to say to him, would you like me to read you a book? And he looked at me and he said, yes. And so he snuggled into me. Now, at this point, the emotion's not resolved, right? The emotion, I haven't dealt with the heart of the issue. The emotion is not out of his body. But I've got him out of that loop. And this is a really important nuance that I could just feel intuitively in that moment needed to happen. And then when we sat down to read the book, his little lip was quivering and I could hear him going, and I said to him, it sounds like you've got more tears. It sounds like they're not out yet. How about we wait to read the book until all the tears are out? And then he leant into me and he cried for about 2 minutes. And then he took a deep breath and I could feel the difference between that cry, right? I could feel the first one, he's activated, he's agitated. There's a problem in his brain that he can't solve. He's making it about me leaving. It's got nothing to do with me, but there's more and more agitation. And then once I got him into my arms because of the book and then paused the book, and those tears were different. They were really different and you can feel it. And he cried only for a couple of minutes. And then he just softened and he said, okay, I really want to read the book now. And we actually had some water and my husband brought in a cup of water and accidentally banged him in the head with the cup. And we thought, oh no, here we go. And he just looked up and he said, that's okay, Dad. And you could just feel like everything about him had really softened and opened. And I was trying to think back to that story. Why did it work? What worked about that? What actually shifted and what helped? And why did that scenario play out in that way? And I think sometimes we need to be able to shift our kids out of the gear that they're in, out of this loop, out of this kind of hamster wheel of frustration, and shift them out of that, but then still go for the release. Like if I had just read the book, he would have been holding it in, right? He wouldn't have actually shifted. But if I'd actually just sat with him on the bed and continued to let him rage, it didn't feel like he was shifting either. That emotion wasn't integrating. That emotion wasn't being worked through. It was just activating more and more frustration in his body. And so I think that sometimes it takes a huge amount of creative, intuitive energy to be able to go, what can I do in this moment that is going to shift this child from frustration and into a vulnerable connection with me without sending the message that they have to hold the emotion inside? And gosh, that's hard work. Even as I say it back, I'm like, that sounds like an impossible task. But I trust you. And I know that if you're listening to this podcast, you can absolutely do this. And there is no scientific formula because that's not how relationships work. It's intuitive. But I think that when we get the bigger picture, when we understand, when we hear stories, when we see how it works in other people's lives, then we can take that message and make it work in our own life. So my question for you is, does sometimes your child feel stuck? If you just tune into your body, and you know, this is not my stuff. It's not that I'm at capacity. It's not that I'm at my edge. But something about this situation feels like we're stuck. Then is there a way you can help get them out of that loop while also honoring that they still need to release? It's just the way that they're doing it in that moment is not actually releasing the energy. It's activating more energy. Now, there's a couple of extra things that I wanted to add to this. So there's a couple of reasons why I see this happen with kids. So sometimes kids get stuck in frustration because they don't think that you understand what the problem is for them, right? So they're frustrated because they want the red cup, but they don't think that you realize they want the red cup. Or they're frustrated because they want their Lego to work in the Lego tower to work in a specific way, but they don't realize that you actually understand that that red block has to go with that blue block and that's how it has to be. And so one of the things that we can try when we feel like our kid's stuck in frustration is to really repeat what it is that you know they desire or what you know their plan is. So you want that red cup. You really want that red cup. It's that red cup that we don't have that just broke or whatever. Or you want the tower to look like this. It has to stand up like this and it has to be this tall. So you want the tower to be this tall, right? Am I right? This tall. You really want the tower to look exactly like this. So you're repeating over and over again what it is that they want so that at least you can rule out that idea that kids will get stuck in frustration if they don't believe that we understand what they want. So that's the first thing. The second thing that kids, second reason why I see kids getting stuck in frustration is because some children really struggle with a change in boundaries. So if you've said yes to something one day and then you said no the next day, that can be really hard for some children to flow with. Some children are fine. My children, for example, around those things, they're totally flexible and fluid. Other children are not. And so you say yes to one extra TV show one day and then you say no the next day. For some children, that will get them stuck in frustration. And they will struggle to hit that futility and understand that futility and understand that it's actually a no today. And they'll just be looping and activating more frustration. And so in that moment, it's really important to acknowledge, I know I said yes yesterday. I know I said yes yesterday. And that makes you want me to say yes today. Today, it's a no. Or whatever you think would actually help them understand that. But that can be something that's really important to be mindful of with some children as well, depending on their temperament and a whole bunch of other things. And the third thing that I think is obviously really important to talk about, and I talk about this, this is the bread and butter of my entire work, is your child stuck? Right? Is your child struggling to move into vulnerability? Because a child will get stuck in frustration and they'll get stuck trying to solve a problem when they don't feel safe enough to move into the vulnerability of disappointment and sadness. And so when children have a lot going on in their lives and they have what I call a full bucket, then they're more likely to do this. Plus, of course, there's lots of other things like their temperament, their level of sensitivity is going to impact how quickly and easily they want to avoid vulnerability. So the question for this point to be mindful of is your child stuck overall? Not just in this moment, like I was talking about my two-year-old, but is your child stuck? Are they struggling to move into vulnerability? Do they avoid their sadness? Do they avoid their disappointment? Because their life's feeling a little bit too tricky and their bucket's a little bit too full. And if your answer to that is yes, then that's my membership is the place to go for support to resolve that, because that's everything that we do. We have kind of a two-pronged approach. We have like two basic areas inside of the membership. One is all about stuck and sensitive kids and all of the things that we can do to support them and to get them unstuck and why getting them out of that stuck phase is so important. And then we also have a whole space around what I call the parenting fundamentals, which I was talking about earlier, which is all about us doing our own deep inner work so that we have the capacity to support our children through any of their stuck phases. So if you feel like your kid just gets stuck in general and they get stuck in frustration and they don't move to that sad, vulnerable, disappointed, connected stage, then the membership's definitely the place to get more support around that. But those are the three things that I see kind of common reasons why kids get stuck in frustration. One is that they just think that you don't understand what they want and desire. The second is that you've changed your mind and so they're feeling like they need to keep working at this because maybe they can get you back to change your mind again. And the third is that they're just stuck in general, that they've got a full bucket, they're having a hard time, and they need a little bit more support in their week overall. And so they're the three kind of common reasons why I see it happen. But, you know, sometimes it just happens and I can't explain why it happened with my two-year-old last night. I can't pinpoint why it happened, but I could feel it. I could feel that he was stuck looping in this frustration, activating more and more frustration, and his brain had made it mean that I just needed to get out of the way. But that wasn't actually what was going on. And so I did kind of distract him by using a book, but I still had in my mind that emotion has to come out. this distraction might get him out of this loop, but I still have to get the emotion out. And what just happened to work in that scenario was that that was enough for him to feel like he could lean into me and he could connect with me and he could move into that sad, disappointed cry. And once we get to that sad, disappointed cry, it's never going to loop. It doesn't go on and on and on. It resolves in a however long it needs, but it doesn't, you don't get stuck in that as a child. So once I got to those tears, I just knew we were on our way through. And it was interesting. I was kind of chatting to my husband about it afterwards and we were going through it all. And he said, I could hear it. He said, as soon as you got that different cry, I knew that you'd got there. And I think all of that, I hope this story helps you feel that so that when you're in your situation, you can start to feel the difference. Does this feel like my kid's actually stuck? Or is this just a meltdown we have to just ride out? And when they get to that different, vulnerable, sad cry, you can feel it. You can feel the shift. And then you know you're kind of, you're on your way through to a resolution and to a really helpful resolution. Like my son genuinely moved through that emotion. It wasn't stuck in his body. Woke up totally fine and happy this morning. Because we actually got to it in the end, even though it took a little bit to get there. Okay. So I really hope that this story and these ideas just help you tune into when sometimes your kid might be stuck in the moment. Sometimes kids are stuck overall and sometimes they're just stuck in a moment. And I think that we need to tune into that when they're in this frustration loop. And do we need to start thinking outside of the box? And what can we do that gets them out of that loop but still honors the need for them to release that emotion and doesn't just encourage them to hold it in? All right, that's it for me today. I hope you have a beautiful week and I'll be back again next week. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories and tag me at Raising Humanskind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly and together we can raise humankind.